learnings and a new experience of you, of me, of this program and these steps. So as we said, TJ is going to be speaking on steps 4 and 5. Step 4 is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And step 5 is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So, TJ, I invite you up here.
Good evening, everybody. My name's TJ, and I'm an alcoholic. Okay, so last time I was here, a couple weeks ago, we were on step 3. Steps 2 and 3, I guess. And what I didn't do on purpose was we actually didn't do the third step. But we're gonna tonight. And there's a reason for that. In the big book, it's very clear that after we take step 3, we immediately begin rigorous action. And that's what we're going to do tonight. So, some of you probably have this memorized. Some of you probably don't. I know. I don't. So if you have your big book or something else, you might want to turn to page 63 in your big book. And if you will, recite this along with me. I left my wife with my little card that has this on it. We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help with thy power, of thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. If you'll notice, there's no amen at the end of the prayer. It's important, but I'll remind you about that another time. Okay, so I came across step 4 the first time. I have a feeling that my sponsor didn't understand it either. Therefore, we really didn't do a very good job, I don't think. And I'm looking in the wrong book, as usual. So in the big book and in the 12 and 12, especially in the 12 and 12, it talks about reciting your life story. But that's not in the fourth step. It's actually in the fifth step. But I didn't understand the fifth step. And again, I don't think my sponsor did either. So I gave him my life story, or some facsimile thereof. And of course, I also withheld a thing or two because I really didn't want to talk about those kinds of things. So I thought to myself, well, I'm just taking a mental inventory. The big book says that step 3 has no permanent effect unless we follow it at once by removing the things that block us from God. Steps 3 and 4 are in sequence because these things have to be done in this order. First, we have to realize that self-will has been blocking us from God's will. Then, we have to make a decision to turn our will over to the care of God, replacing that self-will with God's will. In order to do this, we have to identify the manifestations of self-will so that we can start to eliminate them. Step 4 is simply looking at those manifestations of self-will and identifying them so that later in step 5 we can talk them over with another person and learn more about them. Then in step 6 we become willing to let them go, and in step 7 we ask God to remove them. So you see, these steps are actions that will carry out the decision that we just made in step 3. The results of step 3 will not be based on a decision itself, but on the actions we took as a result of that decision. So while step 3 is a vital and crucial step, it has no permanent effect unless we follow it with actions, beginning with step 4. So as I said, I took a mental inventory, and then I came across this. There is no such thing as a mental inventory. If you don't write it down, you haven't taken an inventory. So in the step, it says, and let's pull it out here, maybe. It says, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Made a searching means fact-finding. Fearless means fact-facing. Moral, I had this one a little confused, just means truthful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a fact-facing, truthful inventory of myself. In step 3, we began talking about the basic instincts. And I don't remember whether I talked about the basic instincts before. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Do you know what an instinct is? You know, when we had two Australian shepherds, and when we got the first one, he liked to play a lot, but he also wanted attention. So if I wasn't paying attention to him, and usually it was, well, when I first discovered this, I was shoveling snow, you know, and I was throwing snowballs for him, and he'd run out and, you know, grab a mouthful of snow and bring it all back. But as soon as I started shoveling snow and not paying attention to him, he bit me in the ass because I wasn't paying attention to him. And he wanted to herd me towards the backyard so that I would throw more snowballs for him. Okay? That was an instinct. He instinctively knew what he wanted me to do and how to get me to do it. Well, human beings have basic instincts too. So our basic instincts are, these are our security instincts. If we didn't reproduce, the earth wouldn't be populated. That's an instinct. If men and women didn't exert themselves to be secure in their persons, made no effort to harvest food or construct shelter, there would be no survival. That's the security instinct. If they didn't reproduce, the earth wouldn't be populated. Guess which instinct that might be. That's the sex instinct, for those of you who aren't following along. (Clears throat) If there were no social instincts, if man cared nothing of the society for one another, there would be no society. Those are our social instincts. These desires for the sex relations, for material and emotional security, and for companionship are perfectly necessary and right, and surely God-given. We're supposed to have them. Yet these instincts, so necessary for our existence, often far exceed their proper functions. Imagine that. They drive us, they dominate us, and they insist upon ruling our lives. All the troubles we have come from our basic instincts. Quit laughing. All the troubles we have come from our basic instincts out of control. So, in the big book, they talk about the columns that we write down, okay? And they give us a very rough draft in the big book. But in the book, The Steps We Took, they give us the whole big thing. And when I did the classes on The Steps We Took, we actually had these things printed out. I probably have some somewhere. I think I do have. Just a second. And this is what they look like. Okay? And I would suggest to every person that I've ever taken through the steps, I would say, okay, what you want to do is you want to take a blank piece of paper and you just want to use this as your guide. Because what we're going to do is we're going to write out in columns all these names for all these things that we have going on. So, basically, for me, wrong judgments equal resentments. Wrong believing equals fears. Guess what wrong actions are? Harms done to others. And those are the three things that the big book talks about. Resentments, fears, and harms done to others. And then we add that last one, the review of harms, review of our own sex conduct. We'll get into that maybe. So, what I would do is I would have, we have four columns. Column one is, first of all, we're going to review our resentments. So I would tell you that you need to write in column one all the names of the people you have a resentment towards. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Shake your head yes, Terry. Okay. But I would tell you not to go any further than that until you've completed column one. I would tell you to write a list of all the people's names. And what I would tell them to do is on each piece of paper that you have, write a name down. Now go get another piece of paper and write another name down, because we're going to fill up that paper. So then in column two, it tells us what's the cause. And in the big book, you know, it talks about, you know, Mr. Brown and messing with his wife or something like that. But in column two, we write down the cause. I ask myself, why am I angry? What did they do to cause me to be angry at them. And then I would tell you to take those names on that piece of paper and write down why you're angry at them. Do not go all the way across. There's four columns. Do not go all the way across those columns. You take column one and write all the names down. And then you take column two, why am I angry? And write the reasons you're angry down on that piece of paper. And the reason, well, let me go on to the third column. On my grudge list, I set opposite each name my injuries. What did they do to me? What's the right word I'm looking for? What instinct did they arouse in me? Was it my self-esteem? Was it my security? Was it my ambition? Was it my personal or sex relations, which had been affected? So what did they do that caused me? I'm not saying this right. Whatever that it is they did, what bothered me so much about that? Okay, why did that drive me so crazy? Why was I so upset about that? And I would tell you then to finish column three with all those names. And the reason that I would tell you to do all this is because if you start, at least it was in my case, if I started and said, if I listed down so-and-so, and then went over in the cause, and then I went over to what effect that had on me. By the time I'm there, I'm so pissed off, I don't give a crap. Now all those resentments that I had before, they're back, and they're running around in circles in my head. Now what am I supposed to do? So when I do it this way, you know, I just list all the names, then I just list all the causes, then I just list what effects it has on me. Then I'm not so angry when I get to that fourth column. And that fourth column is, which character defect do I have involved here? What is my part in all this? Okay? And then I can look at my character defect. Now, to me, this is the really, that's the column we really want to look at, is what my character defects are. And funny thing about character defects. There's only so many character defects. They are selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate. Now, if you take whatever character defect you think you have, it can boil down into one of those character defects. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different character defects. That's all there is. I used to have a sponsee tell me over and over and over and over and over again that there were thousands of character defects. And I said, you're right. But all of them can boil down into selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate. And that's all there is. And that's what we're trying to get to the root cause of. Those are the things that cause us to do the things that we did. Somewhere along the line, our basic instincts get a little out of whack, and they cause us to do these things. Okay, now I'm going to jump over to step five. So, if you've done a halfway decent job, your sponsor's going to go, oh, yeah, it was all right. Sponsor's job, and I realize that I'm really running over this pretty quickly, step four, that is. But a sponsor's job in step five is to do one thing. I think we lost our connection again. The sponsor's job is to improve on the information the sponsee has found in step four. Because that's all it is. That's all step four is. It's information about me. Okay? It really has nothing to do with any of the bad things that I've ever done. You know, yes, you got to put all that stuff down, but it's just information. That stuff is in the past. This is just information. And no matter how you look at it, a sponsor's job is to just help your sponsee improve upon the information that he has. Whoa. What we cannot do, you know, step in the first column, we have all these people's names down. We can't.
We're muted here.
That's what's happening.
Is that better? Okay.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
So, where was I? Okay. So we cannot improve upon our sponsee's fourth step by looking at column one, because it's just got names on it. Those are his names. Okay? There's nothing we can do about that. Can't really do anything about the cause. We just need to know the information. The third column, your sponsee may have overlooked something. Some instinct that he's not looking at. Something in there that has caused him to do whatever it is he did. Okay? That's where we can be a little bit of help. Okay? Maybe we can help them decipher which instinct is really going on here. For instance, and I'm going to try and remember this. You know, sometimes a lot of guys will put down in their fourth step, especially about the harms done to others when it comes to sexuality, okay? And they've put this harm down, okay, I cheated on my wife or whatever, all right? Or something similar to that, okay? And they're looking at that and they're saying, this is something that belongs in this sex column. It's a good possibility it doesn't. Why did you cheat on your wife? And that's where column three comes in into play. Why? Get down to that why did this happen? Okay? And if you break that down enough, you will find that it is usually my self-esteem or my security instincts have been messed with, okay? And I'm overplaying all of this, okay? And it's rattling around in my head, and therefore I did something stupid, all right? It doesn't necessarily mean that you did some harm to somebody else in a sex act, if that makes any sense to anybody. It makes sense to me. So, yes, it's not right, and you really screwed up here, but it doesn't necessarily mean you put it down in that section. So you can help your sponsee go through these things, take a look at them, and only you can do this. You're supposed to be the one that's objective here. But what we can really help out is in the last column. Okay? Where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate? That's the big deal. These are our character defects. And I know you'll find it much easier because when we're doing the fourth step, we're writing these columns down one column at a time. We're not going across. But when you are reading this, or your sponsor or sponsee is telling it to you, he's going straight across. Now you can see a whole lot more than he can. He may be completely blinded by all that. Just a second. So your sponsee may not understand his actual character defect. Okay? He may not get it at all. Until you get an opportunity to read right straight across and see what's going on. Not only are we helping them to see the exact nature of our wrongs or the origin of the wrongs, but we are also teaching them not only are we helping them to see the exact nature of the wrongs or the origin of the wrong, but we are also teaching them the process that they can use daily for the rest of their lives, aka step 10. Okay? So we're teaching them how to go through a fourth step into inventory. And then we are teaching them how to go through a tenth step too, by having, by going through this and working out exactly what's going on. Okay. Selfishness. Selfish means I want this for myself, even though it may keep you from having it. Selfish is the opposite of generous. Well, by the way, I'm going through the character defects, if you didn't know. Self-seeking is trying to put yourself first ahead of the limelight. And I use, everybody understands what being dishonest and being frightened is. But I was so confused about the selfish and self-seeking, I had to look up the difference to find out what it really was. Step 5 is not a confession. It doesn't matter what's been done. We are trying to get them to see the character defects and name them. Remember, we talked about this in the very first step. We said there are three things that have to be involved in a problem. And the first thing is we have to know what it is. What's the problem? We need to put a name to it. Okay? Once we name them, they become, usually, especially in my case anyway, they became objectionable. Now I have a whole list of objectionable things that are going on in my life. Once they become objectionable, we'll be willing to let them go. That's step 6. That's down the road. But they have to become objectionable first. But before we can do any of that, we have to be able to name them. Once they're named, once you can see them, once you can see the selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, inconsiderate, frightened thing, then we can do something about it. As sponsors, we need to be able to point that out to our sponsees. And when you are starting to point all of that out to your sponsees, you will all of a sudden notice there's a pattern here. And you'll go, damn, look at your pattern. It's the same as mine. Son of a gun. Now, just as a side note, whenever I take someone through the steps, and we get to step four, by the time we get there, most of my sponsees are gone. And I'm sure if you've sponsored anybody, you have had the same problem. And if they're not gone by step four, they are definitely gone by step five. What I like to do is I will do a fourth step inventory with them. Okay, so when I'm taking someone through the steps, I actually try and do my own fourth step inventory. And when we get to the fifth step, I will have them listen to my fifth step after I've heard theirs. Okay. What it does is it allows them to see that they need to be trusting in me and I need to be trusting in them, if that makes any sense. And that's all I got. And damn, I left time for questions.
Thank you, TJ. Yeah, it's a, that's part of, yeah, that's good. So now we have time for questions from our audience.
Oh, didn't I tell you, Trevor? You're not allowed to ask.
Thank you so much, TJ. That was powerful. And I appreciate you putting that together. You gave me a lot of things to think about that are great. Question is, in our book, the big book, I'm just asking you to comment on this, on your take on this based on your experience. And it only came to mind because you're talking about the thing about sponsoring people who aren't there by the time the fourth step comes along, and certainly not there by the time the fifth step comes along. One of the things it says in the fifth step is the best reason to take this step is that we're not likely to stay sober if we don't. And just based on your experience in length of time in sobriety and Alcoholics Anonymous and time taking the steps and helping people take the steps, would you care to comment on that or amplify or say anything about that little passage in the big book? Because I found it very powerful when my sponsor reminded me that was the reason we were doing this.
And I, to answer your question, is yeah, I do find that very powerful. For me, after I did the first fifth step, it became apparent that if I didn't go back and do it as the big book suggested, yet I was going to drink. So I think it is important, basically, what you're saying. So I don't know any more. I can't comment on that any further than that.
Thank you.
Who else has a question?
Thank you, TJ, so very much for your presentation today. I love the way you went through this. It's how I came to understand it. And the first time around with my sponsor, it was all just a jumbled mess. I couldn't, you know, I really needed her to hold my hand. But I have never heard the recommendation of the sponsor identifying their resentments and going through a fifth step with the sponsee. And I wondered when you began doing that and who recommended that for you, because I have never heard it. I see the value in it, and but I also see maybe some potential roadblocks or something that might not be helpful. So I just wondered how you came to that practice. Thank you.
Do you mean how I came to the understanding that I can help someone go through the fifth step or look at the fourth step?
What I thought I heard you say is that when you are going through the fourth and fifth step with a sponsee, that you also do a fourth and fifth step of yourself with them so that they can, I guess, graphically or be able to see how this works. And is that what I heard, or did I misunderstand you?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
That's what I said. But I go through the fourth step just like I would have you go through the fourth step. You go do this,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to do the same thing.
Right.
But then when it comes to the fifth step, you're going to listen to mine and I'm going to listen to yours.
I had just never heard that before, and I wondered where you began that practice, and maybe this is something that I'm missing that I need to
well,
be doing.
I started doing that because when I first started doing the classes, if you remember those, we would have people pair up together, and they were doing it together. Okay, and so one person would listen to one person's fifth and the other, and so on and so forth. So that's where I started doing that. And the other thing that it does, at least for me, is, or at least how I understand it, is I'm allowing them the opportunity to see me in maybe a different light, okay? And maybe put their mind at ease also. Now, to be honest with you, my fourth and fifth steps today are a whole lot different than they were, you know, 30 years ago. Okay, I mean, there's not going to be that much on a fourth step for me anymore. But what little there is, at least they can see the process that needs to be to go through to get this finished.
Okay. Who else has a question?
Oh, there's only one question per row.
Hi, TJ. I like what you said about that, and I guess that's kind of what I do when I'm hearing someone else's fourth step, is I don't necessarily like formally do one of my own, but I always share with them, you know, similar experiences, because I think they need to know that, you know, we're not, you know, Beverly said to me one time, you know, when we come in, our first higher power is our sponsor. And I don't want people to put me on a pedestal, so I always like to share with them my, you know, my experiences with things in the past and current things, because I don't ever want them to put me on a pedestal. But that's really cool. I might have to do it that way. When you were talking about the sex inventory, it says in the big book, I only remember one of the questions, but one of the questions is, you know, where did we arouse jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness? So what do you have them, what would you consider something that actually goes on the sex inventory?
Okay, so the way these are written up, it's a review of your resentments, a review of your fears, a review of harms other than sexual,
mm-hmm.
and then a review of your own sex conduct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but see, the first thing you said was jealousy. Okay, well, when you boil that down, jealousy, where does that actually come from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if that's all there is into that, then it doesn't belong on the review of our own sex conduct.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
your own sex conduct may be something that is not legal.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not something that may be not normal. And to be honest with you, most of the time when I've had people actually fill this out correctly, because everybody wants to put something down in there, and it doesn't belong there.
Okay.
It belongs in something else. I would tell you that if you're not sure, put it down, and maybe your sponsor can help you through that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're somehow a nutcase and are supposed to be locked up, although some of us should be. But I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Who else has a question? Anybody on Zoom?
Hi, I'm Deirdre, and I'm an alcoholic, and I wanted to thank you so much for your experience, strength, and hope on these steps. I've really been enjoying them. They've been teaching me a lot. So I have two questions, the first of which is, can you explain to me, maybe a little more in detail, what the difference between selfishness and being inconsiderate would be? Because I think I'm a little confused as to what, you know, how they differ from one another. And the second question is, with your harms list, how far back in your life do you go? I mean, does this begin when our alcoholism began, or do you go back? Because I can think for me personally, there are people in my past, have nothing to do with my drinking, but people in my past that I feel like I've needed to make amends to, and I've heard different things regarding that. So I was just wondering how far back in life you suggest to go.
So the first, to answer your first question, selfishness means I want whatever this is for myself, even though it may keep you from having it. Selfish is the opposite of generous, which has nothing to do with being inconsiderate. Inconsiderate to me would be, God, I don't know, I can't even think of an example of being inconsiderate. If you ask my wife what inconsiderate means, she'll probably be able to tell you some perfect examples. Yeah, we may not have that much time. So, but to answer your second question, which I think was a lot more important, and I'm going to tell you this because from my own personal experiences, as a child, I was physically abused. So when I first got sober, I heard one guy say that that was in the past, that was a long time ago, just forget about all that, okay? That was the worst advice that anybody ever gave me. Everything that's happened in my life, my entire life, has something to do with my alcoholism, has something to do with my personality, has something to do with everything we're talking about in my inventory. Everything that has happened in my past has something to do with that, because it made me who I am today, okay? So I understand today now why, you know, people like me that grew up being physically abused, the first thing they want to do is they want to physically abuse somebody. And the reason is because that's all I knew. That made sense to me. but that's not okay. And I knew that, and even I knew that deep down inside that that was not okay, but yet I still kind of did it anyway. And it hurts. So you cannot just brush it off and just go, no, that didn't happen, because it happened. I heard a woman talk about being sexually abused as a child and how she worked through it. And the first thing that happened for me was, you know, after one of my sponsors found out that I was abused, he sent me to a counselor to get some more help than AA could offer. And I did that. But then I tried to do the one thing that the big book talks about not doing. I wanted to shut the door on my past. But my past haunted me, continued to haunt me. I had 20-some years in this program, and even though I had worked through all that abuse, and even though I had worked through all those feelings and emotions and all that stuff, they came flooding back because I was trying so desperately to say, oh, that didn't happen, or yeah, it happened, but that's a long time ago. So whenever I talk, especially when I lead, that's usually how I start, is that I was an abused child. Because it takes this, every time I say that, it takes the sting out of it. Does that answer your question? Oh, damn it.
She did not like that, TJ. Anybody else have a question?
Deirdre, does that answer your question? No.
Hi, TJ. Thank you very much. I am the second question on my row. So, anyway, real quickly. One thing, thank you very much, first of all, for doing such a great job on
these.
There we go, and the answer is, thanks for doing this. How many columns are on your suggested list there?
Well, funny you should mention that.
Funny.
In the book, the steps we took, there are 4 columns.
Correct.
I have 5.
Okay, and what is the 5th column?
The 5th column is the character defect.
Ah, okay.
What's different is in my columns, I have on my 4th column, what did I do? Or what should I have done?
Ah. Or what God would have wanted you to do? Or
what God might have wanted me to do, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So is that on that column?
It's on mine. I don't normally make people fill it out.
Yeah, no, I understand. I guess the reason I asked that question was because if it's written and it's on there, maybe we could get a copy of that and it would be available for people here.
I could give you a copy and you could make new copies for
yes.
me too, because my copy are
okay. Yeah, big. That would be a great deal. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, TJ.
Thank you, TJ. We'll let you go now.